saw the Lord. Those are the words that we hear from Isaiah in that sixth chapter as he recounts to the believers his experience in worship. Cass, what he says is, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. As we engage in this series and continue to do so, we're challenged to really take introspection, Lee, of our own lives and how we respond when God shows up. Not that God, Jordan, isn't always here, because God is always here. But how do we respond knowing that God is here? Mike, I'm a practicing preacher. I figured if doctors can have a practice, then I guess I can have a practice too. I'm a practicing preacher, and oftentimes in this particular assignment, good to see my little sister in the house. Good. So in this assignment, oftentimes what happens is that preachers know preacher stories. One such story, you may have heard it with Ray Burton. Now, Ray Burton is not a preacher. No, he was an Academy Awards Oscar nominee. He was known for his ability to imply oracle skills. He was really polished. And one day, his preacher friend, because it's always good to have a friend who's a preacher. I'm hoping somebody's gonna say amen right through there. His preacher friend invited him and asked him, would he come and celebrate with him in his 50th anniversary? And so this Academy Award actor and theater performer who's known for performing Hamlet and Shakespearean plays, this performer was coming on the request of his preacher friend, his pastor. And the pastor asked if he would bless the congregation by reciting the 23rd Psalm. And there he was in all the grandeur and giftings that he had. He didn't miss a note, but he told the pastor, now, if I am going to do it, the only way I'm going to do it, because, you know, pastors, you don't have a lot of money, so you're not paying me to do this. The only way I'm going to do this is that you come up behind me and you recite it as well. Pastor reluctantly agreed, because he really wanted his congregation to have Shannon this experience. And so there, this actor comes on stage, and with all the ebullience that came from his refining of his craft, he began to recite the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He recites it with eloquence. I would even say with style, to the point that when he got to my cup overfloweth, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the entire congregation rose to their feet and they applauded with great exuberance. And there's this pastor. He was, it's my turn. He was thinking that, man, they don't respond that way to me. And I've been preaching here for 50 years. I mean, he's coming up because he gave his word. He gave his word that he would do it. So this old seasoned pastor, he gets up. Curtis, he begins to recite that same psalm. This time there wasn't any exuberation from the crowd. In fact, when he was done, there were those who had tears falling down their faces. Many were in awe when he was done sharing the 23rd Psalm. He didn't have the diction or the oracle capabilities, oration that the actor had, but when he got through speaking and he got down off of the pulpit, somebody who was on Burton's road leaned in and said, Burton, I don't understand. When you recited the 23rd Psalm, they stood and applauded. He said, but after that old preacher, when he said 23rd Psalm, they were in awe and in tears. And Burton replied, because I know the 23rd Psalm, but he knows the shepherd. I submit to you, based on our response to the holiness of God, determines how much of God we really know. That there ought to be a time in worship where we gather in this sacred space and we come and we hear from the divinely inspired Word of God. Bell, it ought to change the atmosphere. It ought to change how we respond to each other and respond in here. That is if you had a personal experience with him. If you knew him for yourself, that's really what Isaiah has. In Isaiah chapter 6, he has a personal encounter with God. He sees God. He has an experience with God himself. And I pray, y'all, I do. I pray that we grow past the self-aggrandizement, that we grow past ourselves so that we can truly see God for who he is. So that when God speaks, we will hear. When God speaks, because he's always speaking, that our ears will be inclined to hear what he is saying. You know, Mary Hunt, I live this in my own household. I struggle, and I ask you all not just to pray for my kids because you know who their dad is. But I do ask that you all, Ronnie, you pray for me. Because, Austin, I have some expectations for those who live in my house. Tim would know it. He's been to my house. I have some expectations. See all those kids looking at you right now? They're like, man, yeah, you don't understand. Y'all don't know. They know. I have some expectations when you live in my house. I have an expectation that every time I pay a monthly bill and it says that I pay for all the cellular connections in my house, that I pay for the ability to text, the ability to call. Some of y'all are using that ability right now. I'm not paying for yours, but I'm just saying I pay for that ability to text. I pay for them to call. And the one thing I expect, that if I'm paying for it, bought the phone and the service, that if I'm paying for it, the least you can do is when I call. Am I in this thing by myself? That when I call, I don't care if anybody else, but when I call, when you see your father's name come over the device that was provided for you by your father on the network that your father provides, when you see that name come up, you ought to answer it. I ain't looking at him right now. I ain't looking at him. You ought to answer that. You ought to have a special ringtone for me. It ought to be. Don't be something like Darth Vader theme. No. Yeah. You ought to answer when I call, and yet that's on a human plane. That's on a family dynamic. But let's lift that up a little bit higher, brothers and sisters. For when you've been gripped by God's grace, that he's been carrying you through the trials and the tribulations of life, that he's kept you safe this week alone, that even though you couldn't attend to all of your grandchildren or your children, God allowed for them to come back home. That even though you don't know everything that's happening on the inside of your own body, God still keeps you going. If God has done all that, woke you up this morning and started you on your, I feel my grandma anointing coming on, started you on your way. If God gave food on your table, and if God provides for you in between those months where your change gets strange and your money gets funny, if God has done all that God has done for you, when you come up in here and God wants to speak, all I'm saying is you ought to be able to listen. I got to review in the time that is ours to share, because the reality is that there is a proper response to holy God. A proper response, not a casual response, not it's how I feel kind of response. When you understand, we understand just how holy God is, that our response would reflect our awareness of his holiness. That when we come into this sacred space, we're not struggling between being haughty and being humble, because when we enter into his holiness, understanding that there's no one like God, no one can do what God does, no one can love you the way God does, no one can forgive you like God does. When you come into that kind of holiness, it ought to elicit a response within us, and that response should not be haughty, but that response should be humble. I hope y'all catch this. Because as I stated to you, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, where Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." If you really don't know the setup for that particular scripture, the context for that particular text, then we'd run past that and not see how it demonstrates to us how we are to respond to God's holiness. Tim, if you understand Uzziah, he says in the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah actually, his testimony is in 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, because if you were to visit that chapter, you'll understand why it was important for Isaiah to lift up in this particular passage the year that King Uzziah died. He doesn't say it's the day he died. He didn't say it's the week he died. He says in this season that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord." What is so significant, Tim, about Uzziah that prompted Isaiah in the temple to say, "This is how I saw the Lord"? You got to know Uzziah's story. Because Uzziah had the propensity to go into the Lord's house just any kind of way. You can read it right there in text. Uzziah, he had the practice of just coming into the Lord's house to the point that he wanted to go into the Holy of Holies, the place where the high priest would go and offer prayers unto the Lord on behalf of God's people. The king was so high-minded that he himself wanted to take it upon himself to manipulate God to respond the way he wanted God to respond. I'm trying to help you understand some things. So he barges his way into the temple. Priest runs in front of the king and said, "Look here." This is Avery's translation, by the way, all right? I know your translation may not read just like this, okay? But look here, king. You might be king, but you don't understand the King of Kings. You can't go in that room. And the king pushed his way into his perceived presence of God, trying to manipulate the experience so he could have the experience that Isaiah is having. But instead of getting God's manifested presence, he got God's manifested judgment. Y'all, I hope you catch this, because we have to really take evaluation of ourselves on how we enter the sacred space. That this is not an auditorium where you get to audit, you get to hear what the preacher has to say. No, this is a congregation, an assembly of the believers who gather to hear what God has to say. That's why it's a sanctuary. Uzziah rushes in. God's judgment is impacted upon his life because of his posture and his disposition of pride going in. God strikes him with leprosy on his forehead. He couldn't see it. Everybody else could see it on him. And they excluded him from the temple. And the text ends this way with Uzziah's life. And he was excluded from the temple for the rest of his life. because he just tried to run into the presence of a holy God. Now you see Isaiah 6, and Isaiah in the temple before a holy God comes in all humility. And when he comes in humility, understanding that we, I know we sing it, y'all. I do. I was with the Israel crew too. I am a friend of God. But that, really? Are you? Because sometimes if we're not careful, we try to equate God to our level and try to see God as he's a, as our contemporary, not understanding that he's our creator. He is God, sovereign God who sits on the throne. And there's something I want you to remember, and that is, if we're ever going to have an experience with God, we can't manipulate it. We can't set the mood to have it just right. We can't have the cameras just angled just right to experience God. If we're going to have an experience with God, it takes God to reveal himself to us. I hope you get this. He is holy. There is none like him. And we need God to reveal himself if we're going to experience him. Not only that, this is a review, y'all, that we see God. We see God clearly when it is our commitment to worship him exclusively, where we forget about ourselves, concentrate on him, and worship him. That we get to a place, Brother Bostic, that when we gather, we are so caught up in God and God's word that we are not distracted even by the person who's sitting next to us. That we are seekers of God's word. I came here to hear from God. I'm not leaving here the same way. I came here with that commitment. I need to hear from God. Isaiah comes in, and Isaiah's in the temple, and then he gives an appropriate response, and that appropriate response is humility. You see it there when verse 4, when it says the foundation of the thresholds shook at the cry or the call of the heavenly beings who are crying out to one another, holy, holy, holy. The atmosphere changed and the temple was filled with smoke, because when you really see God for who God is, it ought to change the atmosphere that's around you. When we really have an encounter with God, y'all, we ought not be the same. And if every week we're having an encounter with a holy God, it ought to change how we respond. I know you all, you didn't grow up, some of y'all didn't grow up the way I grew up. I grew up in a very biblical household. Yeah. So biblical that they, you got them folk that take the word literally. No, you don't understand. Let me help you understand for a moment. I grew up in the kind of household where, when I grew up, I'm not picking on y'all. I'm just saying, when adults were having a conversation, kids didn't say nothing. I mean, you might have thought it. You didn't say it. But I told you I grew up in a biblical kind of household. You know, because they were reading that King James Version where it said, if you spare the rod. And he should have defined what a rod was, because they were just using all kind of stuff to fill in. Just tell you how I grew up. I'm telling you how I grew up. So it put a sense of holy awe and respect in me. That it changed my demeanor every time my parent was in my presence. So much so that my boys, my friends, they knew my parents were there even before they saw my parents, because all of a sudden my conversation changed. I feel so old school today, I'd say. We be cutting the fat. We be hollering at each other, just talking with each other, doing what we do, ribbing each other. And all of a sudden, my mom would show up. And I'd start doing, before Michael Jackson had the moonwalk, I was just making some distance between us. And she didn't say nothing, because if Mary came in the classroom, everybody knew, because I was the only child with my head down writing, "Lord, please don't let nothing happen to me right now." I say that because, brothers and sisters, because of who they were, it had an impact on how I responded to their presence. In this sacred space, where we are in God's presence, how will you respond? How do you respond, knowing that you are in the presence of God? The way Isaiah responded. He said in verse 5, "Woe is me." He realized that he was in the presence of God. And this is what he says. Look at it. He says, "Woe is me, for I," it's personal, "I am lost." Some translations say here, "I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." He comes into the temple needing comfort, but God's agenda was for him to have confession. I hope you get this, brothers and sisters. Because anytime we're in the presence of God, one thing we see, yes, we see God in his holiness and his glory, and his glory will fill this place. And when we see God's glory, we see what does not belong. One of these things does not belong. Look at the temple. Look at the temple scene. You have God on his temple. Does that belong? Yes, God on his throne belongs in the temple. God's train is filling the temple. Does that belong? Yes, God's train belongs, showing his majesty and his might. The seraphims who are there, who are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," continually in the presence of God. Does that belong? Yes, they belong there. But now there's somebody there that has no holiness that's a part of him. And he realizes that he does not belong. That even to see God is a gift. To experience God is a gift. To be in the presence of God is a gift. And when he sees God and he sees himself, look at what he says. He confesses, "Woe is me." Brothers and sisters, he expresses to us what the experience of confession really involves. First, it's confrontation. He says, "Woe is me." This term "woe" means that, you know what? I'm condemned. I see myself against God's holiness. You know what? You're not with me just yet here. Let me see here. You know, because oftentimes when we come into this context, we have a tendency to compare ourselves with each other. We do. We look at each other. We check each other out and say, "Well, I'm doing all right because I'm not like them." But when you come in worship, all of us are in the same boat. In case you figured you weren't in part of this here. No, we're all in the same boat. Romans says all have sinned. In fact, anybody who without sin, why don't you just wave your hand right now? Says, no, nobody's moving. Got one person without sin. Anybody without sin, let them respond here. Because Romans says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. And you come in presence of a holy God. Brothers and sisters, your sin does show. So the confrontation is with yourself. It's with yourself and your sin. And you're honest with yourself and say, "You know what? This week, I didn't get it 100% right. You know what? There's some stuff still in me that God needs to work out of me." It's that holy confrontation where you see the holiness of God, the perfection of God, the sinless perfection of the presence of Almighty God, and then you look at you. So he sees himself, and I hope that we see ourselves, where he says, "Woe is me," but he's not done there. Then he says, "For I am lost." ASV says lost. I prefer the translation undone. He says, I am coming apart. That this is really the terminology that's used here, that I'm coming apart at the seams, and God can see everything everybody else can't see about me. Are you with me in this place? That when we're in the presence of God, God sees us. And what's beautiful about this picture is that God knows what Isaiah looks like. God knows what Isaiah is struggling with. And God doesn't kick Isaiah out of his presence. In fact, he does something about it. But hear me, brothers and sisters. God moves, and a proper response before God is a humble response, a response of humility as we come before him in confession that, you know what, God, I've sinned. In fact, there's some sins. I know you saved me, God, but there's some sins that I still have not released yet. Can I talk to some real people up in here? There's some stuff that I've been covering up so that when I come in church, folk can see my church smile. But they don't know I just judged them when I walk right past them. They know people can see me in our life group and I can say, hey, good morning, good morning. But I'm thinking about, you know, last Sunday you act like you didn't even know me. Or I could go in there and fellowship and say, who cooked that? And yet God sees our thoughts. That ought to make you shudder, y'all. God sees what you're thinking about even now. Like, how long is this? Because, you know, this is a rough sermon. I can't celebrate on this here. He wanted to talk to me about confession. And yet, I submit to you that if there is no confession, worship has not taken place yet. If there is no confession, then we really ignore the holiness of God. So it's confrontation. Not only is it confrontation with ourselves, but brothers and sisters, it's a contrition that we feel sorry for what we've done. Not that, oh God, you caught me. God already knew way before you knew what you would be and do by this point in your life. God already knew that. And so it's contrition that God, you still love me as messed up as I can be? That you would still welcome me? When there's some times where I don't even like myself. And yet God, you would love me? It's a sense of contrition and conviction that I'm wrong. And then it allows for God to employ correction. Check out what Isaiah says. Woe is me, I'm undone. I am a man of unclean lips, which he's speaking to, not that he used profanity, not that none of y'all do that. That's not what he's saying in text. What he's saying, Craig, in the text is that from my heart, as Christ said, that the mouth speaks from the heart. From the heart, the mouth speaks. And Isaiah looks at his own heart as an introspection and says, you know what? There's some stuff in me that's not right. In fact, I'm connected to a whole group of people who aren't right. And yet God lets me in his presence. You know, I want to challenge you. I want to invite you to do what we see Isaiah is doing here in authenticity. And let's use this time to be real with God. That's it. That's what I'm inviting you to do, to be real with God in his holy presence right now, that you begin to get uncovered. You begin to identify those sins that the Holy Spirit has been challenging you to address in your life, and you get uncovered before God. That you admit, you acknowledge, and you agree with what God says about your sin. Right now, I'm asking Austin to come on up in a posture of prayer. Would you? This is not for your neighbor to do. This is not for the person you came with to do. It's just for you, my brother and sister. Each of us have a personal experience of prayer with God where we confess. That you start to uncover. You start to take off what covers, and you begin to to be honest about the grief that you have. You begin to be honest about your past, how there's unforgiveness that is still in your life, how there's pain that you haven't dealt with, how God has been prompting you to make that call to that relative that you've been putting off because y'all had a falling out. And in this moment, we not treat this like any other moment, but rather we come before Him.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.